Yo, what's up? It's your boy P, the light-skinned comedian, one that brought light-skinned brothers back before Barack Obama. And you listen to the Stirred Up podcast with my main girl, Miss Dominique. Love you, girl.
Stirred Up podcast, sponsored by shesofunny.com.
What's going on, y'all? We about to kick it off again for another episode of Stirred Up with Dominique and friends. Today, I got a good friend of mine. Everybody's near to D&D to me. I tell y'all that all the time that I bring on this show. Very rarely am I going to bring a stranger on the show. This is my big homie from my hometown as well.
Right.
You know who P is, how to be a player, the Wash, Baps, Two-Pack Video, Slice 1, 2, and 3. You know what I'm saying? What's up, P? Thanks for joining us today.
Well, I'll join you now. You know, we go way back. We go back when we were performing for hot wings and just sodas and shit. You remember that?
Food.
Yeah. Okay. Boom.
Okay. You down in Atlanta, so how they dealing with that loss? Because when I looked on social media, P, it was broken hearts down there about this.
Well, you know, I ain't neither one of their fans. Not like I didn't, you know, but I was rooting for the Falcons because, you know, that white boy, I'm tired of him keeping getting damn Super Bowls, you know, rings and shit. Yeah, I wanted the Falcons to win, but they got chumped up, man. They started playing like they was on high school football that third quarter. After that third quarter, that white boy started going down in their ass. They got nervous and shook up and shit. I was like, damn.
I started seeing a lot of posts after they lost.
Oh, yeah.
I dare any of you nigga to come with that fork shit.
I know.
Or I'm going to punch you in your face, y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They was coming with it.
They was coming with it. So the Oscars coming on Sunday. You look at the Oscars?
Not really. It did not. Now I watch the highlights and stuff, but you know, I got that Hidden Figures and Moonlighting and Fences. You know, so we doing a little decent this year. We got a couple of joints, but not really, man. It don't look fun, man. Oscars don't like no fun thing to do. You know what I'm saying? That shit look kind of boring. Just straight up boring. I don't give a fuck who got visual effects, motherfucking script supervisor, whatever the fuck they lighting and shit. I don't give a damn about that. Is the Negroes gonna win? All I care, I just got my shit set to every time a nigga talk, my channel changes shit on the Oscars. All right.
I mean, like, when we hopeful again another year, I'm so tired of this conversation and black people being hopeful that we damn win.
But you know what? I had a post last year that went like viral and shit about the Oscars, man. On some real shit, man. Why are we so pressed to worry about, you know, validation for them people, man? Let's be real. I mean, I know it's an industry, big industry, but why do we feel like we ain't successful unless that white man say we successful? Because I'm going to tell you what bothers me. You ever hear cats say when you get on a white show or whatever, let's say you've been doing comedy like you, and you deal for years, and all of a sudden you get on a big major white show, the people are like, yo, Dominique made it, y'all. Y'all see she on that white show. I feel like, man, as soon as you start making a living at your job, at your craft, you made it. You know, you might make it to another level, but don't. Cause my whole point is like this: I can't disavow all the black support I was getting for years as not making it. Then, you know what I'm saying? We have like when the white folks get it, all of a sudden we made it. I'm like, hold up! When the black folks was paying their money, you was doing the chitlin' circus, whatever you was doing, they're feeding your family, driving your car, and you was doing it full time. That was when you was making it. Stop acting like the white man got to give you a validation to be like, nah, we've made it. Like, nah, man, you may make it to another level. But I ain't never gonna be like devalue my black folks.
Right, but that's the way we program, though.
Right.
You know we got a Willie Lynch mentality, and a lot of us addicted to white supremacy so bad,
yes, sir.
P, that
yes,
sir. We don't even know which way to turn. People addicted to white supremacy don't even know they're addicted to white supremacy.
That's real. That's real. You're right. I'm gonna tell you how I check that out. You ever be out somewhere where it's like public customer service, like McDonald's or anything?
Yeah.
And you in line, and a black person is behind the register, and they be like, yeah, what up? All right, cool. And then all of a sudden, a white person come behind you, like, hey, how you doing? Like, what the fuck? You get this white motherfucker all kind of smiles and shit.
I I know exactly what you're talking about. Get the grinning and dancing and yeah. jig. You come up there, they act like they giving you your shit for free.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Give me that smile. Give me that smile. You about to get that white man and shit. Yeah, man.
The white supremacy. And when they do that to me, that's exactly what I say. Mm-hmm. And they don't even get it. I be like, right. Shorty, addicted to white supremacy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can't help. Yeah. Why you don't think they honor comedians more on the war shows? Why you don't think they, you know, what is that about?
And it's funny you say that, because if you ask any serious actor, they'll tell you comedy's the hardest thing to do. They'll tell you it's the hardest. Like you got some them good-ass actors in my head, like let's say Mackie, Anthony Mackie, or one of the other, they'd be like, yo, man, comedy's difficult, man. Brad Pitt asked him, man, comedy ain't easy. But we don't show the love. Because you know, doing comedy is kind of quote-unquote silly. You're goofy. And if people don't respect being silly and goofy, and you know what? It's not necessarily being silly and goofy. Sometimes you don't realize some of the technique that goes into, you know what I'm saying, doing that. Because comedy's so hard, you need a reaction at everything you do. You don't need a reaction when somebody's doing a drama. When somebody just talking and shit to his wife or whatever. But when you do comedy, you need, it has a definite place where it needs to be laughter. And for you to achieve that is a great thing. So, you know, I don't know. So you're right. They should be.
Yeah, I guess they feel like, too, because when you are a comedian, you can go up there and you can make it appear to be effortless. You know what
right.
I mean? But in reality, it's not that way.
Right. Try to get some of the people to do stand-up comedy. Get some of your coworkers, get up on there and tell some jokes. Coworkers can sit there in the office and talk to all y'all. Put their ass on a stage and say, be funny. Yeah, lose their mind.
They would lose their damn mind. They're going to be shook. Mm-hmm. The microphone going to shake them alone. Because most people not used to talking to a mic. That's going to shake them alone. Then they really don't have nothing to say.
And please don't put you in a den of black folks. Because black folks will be that stare down and shit like, nigga, what? Black folks give you 1.8 seconds, nigga, to get funny. Okay.
I'm trying to tell you, if you don't do it by then, they start saying they need to put the next one up.
Niggas are the only one that tell you before the show, you better be funny. Hey, what the fuck? I better be funny. I've never been to a white club where they said, man, you better be funny, guy. You know, white people say, man, I'm here to enjoy you. I'm ready to see you. I'm ready for you to make me laugh. Not black folks. Black folks, but man, your ass better be funny. I better be funny? Well, nigga, you better be a good audience. One time, I actually booed the audience. I booed them niggas. Oh, y'all terrible. Ain't me. Y'all the ones terrible.
But they expect a lot out of us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we put that pressure on us. We that's just what we are. That pressure, that beast. You know, that's why so many people are so great when we make it and shit. By the time you see a brother make it, he done been through hell, boy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
95% done been through hell by the time they made it, man. We wore out. Shit, we so happy white folks just gonna listen to us. Oh, thank y'all. We'll take silence. You know what I'm saying? We'll take a quiet crowd. See, white folks, if you bomb it, they'll be quiet. We'll be like, oh, thank you. Because not black people.
Nah, they start trying to figure out how they gonna tear your ass up.
That's what I'm about to say. Black people will tell you, look at your clothes. Soon you hit the stage, look at them shoes that nigga got on. Look at them shoes. Them shoes fucked up. They judge you by your gear if you're gonna be funny. This nigga got some turned up shoes. You know he ain't funny. Them jeans is fucked up. You know he ain't gonna be funny. Look at that nigga hairline, nigga. You know he ain't funny. Like, damn. We cruel, boy. We cruel as shit. But when we love each other, we love the shit out of each other. You know what I'm saying? Stand ovation, right. Stand ovation and shit. Buy all your shit from you. Buy your DVD, dog. Everything, man. Tell niggas about you next morning at work and shit. Yo, that nigga was funny as fuck, man. So, yeah. But it's just that fine line. It's a fine line.
Fine line. All right, so the Oscars coming on. So, you a movie buff? Do you watch this stuff, Pete?
I don't watch all the Oscar movies, but I do chime in. And, you know, I just saw what's that movie? I'm Not Your Negro. I supported that, but
how was that?
It was cool. Now James Baldwin is a very interesting person, man. He's mesmerizing. When you watch him, man, he's very interesting. Some of the stuff is in there I already knew about, like the Birmingham bombing and stuff with them four girls. I knew that already, you know. But just him as a person, the stuff that he was talking. The way he had white folks, you know, listening and stuff, and just his points he was making, I was like, damn, this during the 60s, he was a radical little dude, man.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. He had a little sugar in his tank, too, though, but he didn't give a damn. Like, feisty little guy.
Yeah, but he went hard, though, huh?
Yeah, buddy, you know, so I was like, all right.
So the best documentary features are Life and Life Animated Fire. See, I Am Not Your Negro, OJ Made in America, and 13th.
Yeah, I saw 13th and OJ. The OJ thing was dope. That was about 4 or 5 days, 7 hours. That OJ thing was kind of dope. That was dope. Did you see that?
What about 13th? I didn't see OJ. I saw 13th. I really like 13th.
Yeah, that was...
I'm a big Ava DuVernay fan.
Right, that was on Netflix, right? And that's it.
That was on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, that was good too.
I like, when it comes to the Oscars and stuff like this, I like the people to win. Even if I haven't seen the project, if I'm a fan of your work, I'd be wanting you to win off that. That's probably not fair though, but.
Nah, man. Shit, what do you mean not fair? The whole Oscar's not fair. Shit, you know what I'm saying? Fair.
I Am Your Negro, I'm going to go see that, but I want that to win just off of Negro.
Right. Are you funny? The title. You win an Oscar title.
Yeah. That best actor, Denzel Washington, Fences, Andrew Garfield.
I ain't see that.
Yeah, Fences was off the chain. I saw Fences. That was off the chain. Andrew Garfield, Hacksaw Ridge. I didn't see that. Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea. That was a good movie. I think Casey Affleck did a good job, but the movie was so damn dark.
Oh, okay, that's what it was. Shot dark, or the theme, or the temperature, you know.
Yeah, the plot dark. Yeah, it was some dark shit, some sad dark shit. Ryan Gosling, he was really good in La La Land. I'm also a Ryan Gosling fan. I like La La Land. I was looking at La La Land with my mother. Woo, and the way it come on, they dancing and singing and stuff. She was like, if this the whole movie, I ain't gonna be to stay awake through this.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Viggo Mortensen, I don't know if that's how you say it, Captain Fantastic. I didn't see that. And Best Supporting Actress is Viola Davis in Fences, Naomi Harris, Moonlight, Nicole Kidman, Lion, Octavia Spencer, Hidden Figures, Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Sea. That's a tight category.
Who you think gonna win that? Octavia?
Oh, no.
Oh, now Michelle. Michelle Williams is pretty good. She was married to that boy that died and shit, overdosed and shit.
Yeah, she's good though. She's good.
Yeah.
But you don't think Viola Davis, huh?
I'm asking you. I didn't see Fences.
Oh, she was excellent. I mean, her work. She just excellent. But everybody in this category, I didn't see. I'm not familiar with Naomi Harris from Moonlight.
Oh, she's pretty black. So pretty black girl.
I didn't see her.
She was in 28 Days Later. Remember that horror movie? Everybody going vampire, like what they call zombies and shit. You remember that movie?
Mm-mm.
I remember that. 28 Days Later. Yeah, it was like a British movie and shit. And they was going out eating everybody up. They was running like apocalypse and shit. That's pretty good. That's my first time I saw her. She a fine mother. She got a white boyfriend, so a husband. I'm good on her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. I would like to see Viola Davis win, but then Octavia Spencer did impeccable work in Hidden Figures, so I can't really say.
Right.
You know, but may the best man win on the Oscars. I probably will check it out. Some of it. Oh. I don't never stick with it, though, too much. I'm like you, P. I flip back and forth after a while when they start.
Talk about special visual effects.
Shit, art design and all that. Not that that stuff isn't important.
It don't.
And to a production and all that, not to take it away from that. It is important to a production. But when you sitting there, if you're not in the arts and special effects, it starts draining you. That's all. Social media. Let's move on. Social media as a comic. How important is social media to you, Pete?
Very, very, very. You know, we now are becoming, there's no more gatekeepers. You know, you got rid of the gatekeepers with social media. Gatekeeper, you know, being the head of NBC, Warner Brothers, all that. Now you got the power in your own hand to, you know, become successful. Now, the only problem with that is, social media is a young man's game. It's under 30 years old. You know what I'm saying? So if you're over 30,
that's one of the problems.
Yeah. So the talent is gonna be young, always young. You know, most of the time. You know, I see people got like 2 million followers. I ain't never heard of these clowns. And then I see some of they stuff they do. It's not really all that funny. I mean, it's okay. You know, like somebody sitting down, they slap somebody in the face or run around or something. And then, you know, slap and run and then laugh, and it's like 2 million hits. I'm like, what the fuck was that? I mean, I get it, but it wasn't that bad. Yeah, good. But you understand, it's to them certain young kids, you know, 18, 19, 22-year-old, 24-year-old. They like that little ignorant stuff. You know what I'm saying?
And another thing with it, too, is, I was just wanting to say what you said about it's a young man's game. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt. I got some, you can tell your fans, they can go to like my Instagram pages, at Comic Pierre, C-O-M-I-C-P-I-E-R-R-E, at Comic Pierre. And I got some killer skits, man, 1 minute skits. I mean, shit that you had to think about, clever shit. You know what I'm saying? I got 10,000 views here and 20,000 views there, but ain't no million views. And let me tell you, let your fans go on it, at Comic Pierre. Let them go to my page and see. They're going to be like, damn, these are some funny ass skits. Because I'm thought provoking. You know, I got a beginning, middle, and end. Some of them skits, them young cats got don't have it. So on that tip, you wind up seeing people become stars that don't necessarily have what it takes, you know, to really be a star, you know. But
I think the problem comes in too. I think another problem is the people that know who we are and our demographic, they're not that young.
Right.
Not the majority of them anyway, let me say that. So
right.
The people our age, they not on it like that.
Right, sure.
They don't be in tune like that.
Right. So that's what you got to fight then. You got to fight the fact that your, you know, our fan bases aren't going to be on there. So let me tell you, if you are our age, if you over 35 years old,
yeah,
and you got a million people following you, that is huge at that age. That is huge at that age. You know what I'm saying? A million people and you over 35, 40 years old, you over there, that's huge. That's huge. Because
that's huge.
Yeah. I mean that equals about 5 million of people who are younger. You know what I'm saying? You know, 25-year-old. Yeah, because you're talking about getting people who aren't, you know, because most young kids ain't going to go get you, and that means, you know, come and follow you. And that means you got a damn near half of the people grown on social media following you. Shit, you know what I'm saying? There ain't probably about three or four million older people on that bitch in the whole damn near social media, because they got kids, mortgages, they got to go to work in the morning, they got time to be up there. And these little kids, all they stay on that shit. 18, 19-year-old live on social media.
I'm talking about take more pictures than the law allow. They live on social media. I mean, just snap.
It's
unbelievable. And it's like, it's an adjustment to start taking pictures all day long, every day posting.
Real talk. If I see another pigeon-toed girl giving a peace sign with her bag hanging off her elbow, I'm going to kill somebody. Do a different pose, bitch. I mean, all I've got a little pigeon-toed. Hey, deuces, or that head back and shit, their hair long flowing behind them. It's the same pose, bitch. Like, I'm cool with it, but everybody got that pose. That ain't original.
They turning their feet in now.
Okay. With the little deuces and their purse hanging. A big ass purse hanging from their elbow and shit. I'm like, come on. But they're 25 years old. They don't know no better than shit. You know what I'm saying?
But I know. How do you think your career would be different if we had social media?
Woo! Let me tell you something I used to do. Okay, I don't know if a lot of people didn't know this. And it's funny. Now, this is before social media, of course.
Okay.
I used to make stickers like. 5-6 inches by like 8 inch, you know, big stickers.
Uh-huh.
And neon colors. And whenever I was on Def Jam or something on TV, Comic View, I used to buy me 5,000 of those in the peel, the kind you peel, not about 1,000, you peel off. And I would drive like in front of CAA. For those who don't know, CAA is like a big agency, or ICM, those are big agencies. Mm-hmm. Whatever building that was in where the cars would come out, and I would stick them on fucking all the damn light poles right there, all the fucking any. Back then, they used to still have, payphones, all the payphones.
Yeah.
So whoever came out those motherfucking car, all those places would see like, God damn, look at all them stickers on them. I had them on Roscoe's and shit everywhere. You know, and I would do it like at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. and shit. Go sneaking. I put posters up around the town wherever I knew people would be at the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory. Now, no one really said nothing, but years later, like 5 years later, 10 years later, comics be like, yo, nigga, I used to think you about to blow up, nigga. I saw them posters you had, them stickers. I was like, oh, now you're going to tell me. You ain't tell me why I was having the shit up there.
Right.
You're going to wait years later and shit and say, oh, I remember that. I used to see you all those posters of you everywhere around town and shit. But I used to do that myself. That's a lot of work to do. I mean, every time I left a comedy club at 1 in the morning, I would drive around Hollywood, just put up stickers and posters and shit of myself all over town.
What did they say?
Well, no, someone was saying something like catch catch Pierre on Def Comedy Jam, you know, Friday, November 18th, 10, 12 midnight on HBO, like that. And I'd have a, like green or blue, just neon. Yeah, and then I'd say, oh, have me at Comic View. Or I would say something like, you know, the funniest comic, you know, whatever, like the funniest comic coming up, or Pierre, and I had a picture of me on there and stuff like that, or big posters of me saying, you know, catch Pierre at the Comedy Store, you know, Hollywood, you know, during the week or something, because I was a regular there for a long time. So just stuff like that, just promoting myself. I promoted the shit out of myself. And some of them stickers.
Oh, that was dumb.
Some of them stickers was around for 5 years on like telephone, you know, boxes or whatever you call them and stuff. Like 5 years later, you still see some of them because, you know, they stuck on them. You had to kind of peel them off. But they still stuck on them. Yeah, man. I did all around clubs and shit. You know. So catch somebody catch me. I'm like, I ain't do that shit. I don't know. Well, I don't know who did that shit. You know, but
that's
I did
dope,
that.
That's so, dope.
So just telling you the energy I had then to do it, to physically do it. Could you imagine if Facebook was around back in 90, like 95 and 96? Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, and who taught me the game of all that, just the game of that was Shang, comedian named Shang.
Yeah, I know Shang. Shout out to Shang.
Shang taught me how to, Shang. Yeah, Shang was a hell of a marketer. I mean, he off the chain with his marketing skills. Yeah. I used to tease that nigga one day. I said, nigga, I said, once your career catch up with your marketing skills, you're going to be somebody.
Okay. What would he say?
He look at me like I'm crazy. Like I'm crazy. Like, nigga, on with that. I'm like, I'm saying, you a hell of a marketer, nigga. You got to get your career there, nigga. You know. And that nigga, Martin, he'll market himself like he was Eddie Murphy back in the days and shit. But, you'd be like, who is Shang, nigga? Who's Shang? Everybody, like, who's Shang? You know, like, damn, Shang? Shit. But I respect that boy Hustle, man. I do respect him, man, a lot.
You absolutely. Yeah. You got to respect everybody's hustle that's been here this long.
That's true, too. I know a lot of people fell off.
Oh, a whole bunch of them, and a whole bunch of them not going to get this far.
What? What? Well, I'll tell you something I learned, Dominic. I learned this. You know, we always try to strive for whatever the big prize is, whatever it's our TV show, a big movie, whatever it sometimes is. I learned about 5 years ago, I told myself I will not strive for that anymore without enjoying the journey. You got to enjoy the journey of this, man.
You got to.
Yeah, you'll be, because you can never guarantee the final result. You can't guarantee you'll be a big time star, be in big movies, get your own show, but you can guarantee the journey.
Yeah.
So why not enjoy what you can guarantee, which is the journey?
Yeah.
So I've learned now, I don't even sweat shit no more.
No, because if you do, you're not going to make
right.
it.
Right. Well.
You know what I mean? Because the peaks and valleys, let me say, I ain't going to necessarily say make it, P. I'm going to say it's going to be hard for you to sustain and be happy in it.
Right.
You know
sure.
what I mean?
Sure.
And you wrote a book all about this business. Tell them about your book, P.
Oh, yeah. I got a book called My 100 Homies and Phonies of Hollywood. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I met a whole bunch of celebrities. Some was homies and some was phonies. But, some of them feel it. Well, you know, at the end of the day, Hollywood phony shit. Let's be real. You know, the whole makeup of, I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, you know, I'm talking about from the realness of it is phony. Like, Martin ain't married to damn Gina. You know, they ain't no real kind of relationship. So it's all fake.
Right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Everything's fake. It's right. all predicated on. Arnold Schwarzenegger don't be blowing up nothing. Chris Tucker ain't no cop with Jackie Chan. You know, it's all fake and shit. So it fucked up when people believe that shit. I mean, I did stuff. They was like, in movies, they're like, man, why you let that girl knock your door down in How to Be a Player? Nigga, it was in the script, you motherfucker. What's wrong with you? It's in the script, nigga. It ain't real. A girl really didn't do that for me in real life. But people believe in that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's why I always laugh at entertainers who walk around like they believe they hype. Like, nigga, you ain't no cold killer, nigga. You was in a movie playing a cold killer. You ain't no, you know, Tupac told me one time after he did Juice, people were afraid of him. He said, man, people thought he was Bishop. They're like, oh, that nigga tough. He's like, man, he's like, people just got afraid of him like that. And I was like, wow.
That is nuts.
People bought into that he was that dude. You know what I'm saying? That tough dude, you know? And it is what it is. But, yeah, the book is really funny.
But it's true.
Yeah.
If they see you in something and they like you and they'll be calling you that, like, you can't separate
right.
the two.
Sure. I'm like, dude, this is all just make believe. No, you good. But no, the book is just about the stories of 100 celebrities that I met while I was in L.A. I lived in L.A. for 11 years, and I met everyone from Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, you know. I mean, you just name it, I did it. And Halle Berry, I did movies with. I've been, you know, some people I met like one day, or some people I had intimate relationships, like, you know, I knew them for years and so forth. And what happened was, people just kept asking me, like, yo, how was it working with Tupac? How was it working with Dr. Dre? How was it, you know, working, you know, being around Eddie Murphy or whoever, Martin, coming up with Martin Lawrence and coming up with Chris Tucker and all that, whatever the case may be. And I thought about it, and I had broke my leg playing football back when Michael Jackson died in 09. Uh-huh. I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking, man, let me do something with this time. And so I said, let me just write stories, because everybody keeps asking about these stories, and I'm a good writer. I write movies and so forth. I said, well, let me just write it. And I started writing, you know, the book, the story. I made a list of all the celebrities I knew. It came down to 100 of them. I said, all right, let me jot down some stuff. So I started writing it, and before you knew it, I had, you know, had 100 stories.
That's dope.
I self-published it, and people love the book. When I do shows, I sell out all the time. People just want, you know, they're like, yo, give me that book, man. Let me see what that book's about. And some of the celebrities have read that book. I'm like, yeah, I remember that. Like me and Gabrielle Union. I mean, a lot of them have seen their little, read their part. In fact, Steve Harvey read his part and had me come on his radio show, and I wound up staying for like 9, you know, days, like, you know, kept coming back for like 9 days because he read my book and liked it.
Straight like that.
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, that shit was funny. I remember that shit, P. Yeah, because I mean, I ain't lying. I ain't lying about the shit. You know what I'm saying? I remember when Erykah Badu used to work for Steve Harvey in his comedy club. She was a manager at his comedy club. Erykah Badu.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was like, who's that girl with the fat ass? The manager. Damn, she had a fat ass. She didn't have a fat ass. I ain't gonna lie about me. She didn't have a fat booty. Yeah, but her voice was a little rough, though. Her voice was a little rough. Well, you want to get paid? You want to get paid? I'm like, damn, man, it's like that. Oscar the Grouch voice and shit. But she had that ass, though. Woo.
That was good. So y'all definitely, if you have a chance, pick up that book. Yeah. So you can read that book.
Yeah, yeah.
When a comedian get to telling stories about stuff with different people, you can rest assured that it's going to be on point.
Oh, man. And not only that, I write it like I talk. So I'd be like, this nigga here, you know, I'd be talking, I'd be writing, who is this motherfucker nigga here? So if you know how I talk and you follow my comedy, oh, you're going to love it. It's just an extension of it. I don't be like, so I met Eddie Murphy at the house. And I said, and I'd be like, I met this nigga standing right here. It was Eddie Murphy. I'm like, hell no. You know, I write like that.
Yeah,
so
when they reading it, they can hear you.
Right, exactly. I write. Yeah, a lot of people say, man, this book is funny, P. I loved it, man. I learned a lot. In fact, the first 35 pages is actually my life about how I, you know, grew up in Germany, came to D.C., started doing comedy and all this kind of stuff, how I came out to Hollywood, how it was hot for me, then I decided to leave for a while and try to come back. You know what I'm saying? So the first 35 pages is about that. Then it goes into each chapter is a celebrity. And a lot of people say, man, you should have wrote more about yourself, nigga, because it was interesting about some of the shit. I talk about all kind of stuff, man. You know, who I was jealous of.
What made you leave Hollywood?
I was just getting tired. Come on, girl. You've been in the business. You know, my I was turning into a person I didn't want to become. You know what I'm saying?
I
wasn't raised to it. And I didn't know how to separate it. You know, because I'm a type of person, man. If I fucks with you, I fuck with you hard. You my people.
You know what I'm saying?
And I had to learn this business. No, it's business, brother. They may take you to lunch tomorrow and don't talk to you ever again. Today, and don't talk to you ever again tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Your agents, your manager, you're like, what the fuck happened? They won't pick the phone up. They don't even say nothing to you. You just like, what the fuck happened?
Say nothing to you.
Nothing. You'd be like, oh, you got to find out your own self. I guess I'm not with y'all no more, you know? And then they'll see you out. They'll see you somewhere and walk right past you. Like, we just had lunch like 2 weeks ago. You said I'm a star. Hey, nigga, that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so I was like, what? And then people, you know, here's something I always say. You ever notice this, Dominique? People never really ask you how you're doing. They ask you what you're doing.
All the time.
Because they don't care how you're doing. They don't care how you're doing. Like, what you doing? What you working on? Like, bitch, how about how I'm doing? And see, I still say, yo, Dominique, how you doing, girl? How you feeling, man? How things going? Yeah.
And then out here, too, you know a person from a different, you could be from the same city or just know a person coming up in the business and they'll be talking to you like they just met you that day.
That's crazy. I'll tell you what hurt me was, okay, to me, I feel like, even though it might not be true, but we from D.C., everybody from D.C., all the DC comics should have a camaraderie. We came up together. So when I see you in Hollywood, I would reach out to a D.C. person faster than anyone else or try to help them out because we come from the same, you know, situation. But let's say, quote unquote, some bigger name comedians, man, them motherfuckers ain't got no love like that. You're like, damn, like, are we from the same hometown? Like, nah, nigga, we in Hollywood now. We off ourselves. I'm like, oh, snap. You mean we can't, like, kick it and stuff? nigga, we in Hollywood. We ain't in D.C. no more. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. Because let's say, because let's say Dominique come to L.A., and I've been in L.A. for some years, and you coming new. I'm like, girl, you here? Girl, call me. And you call me, I'll be like, girl, go to the Uptown, I mean, Comedy Act Theater, and ask, holler at Michael. Tell Michael I said you're good. Or next time I'm going there, I'll let you know, and come with me. That's how I am.
Yeah.
You going to the Laugh Factory?
Yeah.
Go on Friday, Sundays. Tell Pookie I said, what's up? If you got a problem, hit me up right then and there. I'll talk to Pookie right then and there to see if I can get you a spot. That's the nigga I am.
Right.
But the other niggas, shit. They like, nigga, man, do your own thing. All right. I see, like, yo, what's up, so-and-so? Like, hey, what's up? All right, cool. And then walk away. You're like, what, nigga, we from D.C. We ain't talk. Oh, damn.
Damn,
Kevin. Fuck it then. Man, when I saw that kind of shit happening, I said, shit, damn. I said, okay, my lesson learned. I thought we was going to be cool with each other. And I'm not saying all D.C. comics like that.
Yeah.
But we all should come from the same. We should be proud. I used to brag about everybody from Martin to Tommy to Dave Chappelle. All of them, nigga. You, all of them. Yeah, nigga, we got the toughest motherfucking comics from D.C. We ruled Tony Wood, Teddy Carpenter, all of them. Chris Thomas. Yeah, nigga.
All of them.
Man. You think they did it with us? Shit. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, okay. All right, well, fuck it then. All right, maybe. And then there'd be some bitch shit like, he mad at him for what? Because he talked to a girl one time he was trying to talk to, and now they're keeping that beef for 10 years, 15 years, and we famous now, and we still pissed off that bullshit? Yeah, nigga. You a petty-ass nigga. You a petty motherfucker,
yeah,
dude.
It ain't nothing worse than a petty ass man. I bullshit you not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You ain't supposed to be no petty man like that.
Yeah.
Right, that ain't for no petty man.
Yeah.
So every day we, every week, P, we shout out a comedian on here. It's almost like our comedian history moment. Tuesday was the 5th annual Patrice O'Neal Comedy Benefit, which was held in New York City featuring Bill Burr and Dave Attell. So this week we honor the late great legend, Patrice O'Neal. Take it away, Zachary.
When penning his biography, Patrice O'Neal says he got his start in a uterus. Always the jokester, Patrice O'Neal began his comedy career by heckling an open mic comic in October of 1992. That comic challenged Patrice to perform at the next open mic night, and the rest is history. Patrice conquered the Boston comedy circuit in 5 years and moved on to New York City. Hollywood called after that. In addition to wowing audiences in America and the UK, Patrice wrote for MTV, WWE, The Chappelle Show, The Office, and many more. Patrice also appeared in several television programs and movies, including Head of State, Arrested Development, and Scary Movie 4. Patrice was a fearless comic who spoke his mind and challenged audiences to open theirs. In addition to laughs, Patrice was noted for his social and political commentary on race and censorship. He frequently appeared on radio shows, late-night television, and Fox News to share his thoughts on America and its political landscape. In 2011, Patrice O'Neal released his first hour-long Comedy Central special, Elephant in the Room, which was an instant classic. Let's take a listen.
But she don't look like a villain, so she just... But she don't tell good stories. She don't. What's your name? Dave, what's your name? Hi, this is truth. When you call Dave from another room, Dave, immediately, he goes, ugh. What does she want now? Dave, you wanna hear what happened to me today? He'd be like, oh, I make my girl tell me the end of a story first before I invest any more time into listening to the rest of it. You wanna hear what happened to me today? No, what happened? Somebody got shot. All right, go ahead, try to tell the story. Starts off wrong. You know my friend Diane, right? No, I don't. You know Diane? I don't know Diane, I don't. Yeah, now I gotta tell you another 2-hour story so you know who Diane is. Remember 10 years ago I made you go to a party you didn't wanna go to? and I introduced you to some people you didn't care about? Well, Diane was one of them, remember? Yeah, yeah, I remember. You don't remember. You're just saying you remember.
Although Patrice O'Neal passed away on November 29, 2011, his mark on the world of comedy will never be erased and his light will never be diminished. I'm Zach Johnson. On behalf of the Stir It Up podcast, we salute Patrice O'Neal, a true comedic genius. Back to you, Dom.
Thanks, Zach. I have nothing but love for Patrice, and I do miss him dearly. He was a great comic and friend. I had so much fun with Patrice. And whenever you talk to Patrice, one thing you can bet, he was going to drop some real shit on you no matter what.
I'll tell a funny story with him. Like, I had never met him before this situation. I called a guy named Will Sylvans. They were roommates. Will and Patrice were roommates. Uh-huh. And I was calling for Will. And Patrice answered the phone. And he was like, what's up, man? And when you talk to him, he talked just as normal, like, you know, just such like, what up, nigga? What you doing? I'm like, damn. And so he said, Pete, let me tell you something. He said, man, I'll be honest with you. I thought you were going to be larger than you are. You know, it wasn't a diss, he said. He says, I just thought you were funny as shit. I thought you were going to be larger, man, than you are and shit, man. He said, I don't know what the fuck happened, man. You know, this business is fucked up. And I was like, yeah, dude, I hear you, man. And I was just surprised he said that about me. Like, he even paid attention to me. Like, I didn't know he even knew who I really was as a comic and shit. But when he said that, I was like, wow. And then, I said, all right. And then I talked to Will and shit. But that was the only really conversation we ever had. But I madly respected him because he did white comedy clubs as the nigga that he is. He didn't water it down and shit. He was still that nigga. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. You know, he wasn't all like, hey, hi.
That's one of the things I loved about him. He was just Patrice. I went on a Def Jam tour in London with Patrice. It was Patrice, Capone, Tony Roberts, and myself. And we were over there, I guess, for like 7 days, and we had a great time. We had a ball. So shout out to Patrice O'Neal and rest in peace. So Pete, we gonna wrap it up and shout out all your social media information where you gonna be performing. Because on this show, the people that come on this show, we don't let anybody on. You can't be no bullshit.
Oh shit.
You're no bullshit. Call me. So if you, I only bring people on here that I recommend you spend your money to see. So you know.
First of all, let me give you a shout out, girl. You know you're my folks. You know, I say you really are my folks.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, we know we don't see each other all the time, but it's always pleasant when we see each other. I got nothing but love for you. Even being a female comic, you know, this business is rough on the females, man. And for you to constantly work, I know a lot of females who work every once in a while. There ain't but about 4 or 5 black ones that work constantly, and you one of the ones that work constantly. That is a huge accomplishment. I don't know if people understand how it is, but for the fact that you constantly been working, I mean, constantly, from since I've known you, I'm like, damn, she's on every fucking show. I turn around, you on this show, you're at this club. I saw you at the, the Houston Improv or the...
We was in Fort Lauderdale. Fort
Lauderdale. And when you ripped it, I was like, this girl, I mean, I just loved it. I was happy for you and proud of you. So from that point, that's why I'm on the show, you know, because I don't do everybody's show, everybody podcast. But when you called me, it was no problem at all. All right, for me, check my social media out at Comic Pierre, comicpierre, at Comic Pierre on Instagram. If you got an Instagram, you got to hit me up and tell me you heard me on Dominique's show, and then I'll feel good about that scenario. So
yeah.
I'm touring all over the country. I got a funny web series right now. We're about to turn it into a TV show. If you want to go on YouTube, you can catch the first 7 episodes. It's called Dating Pierre. Again, that's DatingPierre, one word, Dating Pierre on YouTube. Check it out. I promise you, it's some of the funniest stuff you've seen. Just finished a deal with Kevin Hart's company and stuff. I sold him some skits, man. My skit game is off the hook. If you check it on Instagram, you'll see. And I'm touring all over.
Yeah, we got to do some skits together. All right, definitely. We're going to make that happen. So y'all look out for us in the skits. And thank you for everyone who came out last week. I had a great time in Philly. Great club. It's nothing better when you go into an establishment as a comedian and you get first-class service and they treat you first-class.
It's supposed to be.
That doesn't happen often. So shout out to the Punchline in Philadelphia and their very gracious and kind manager. And also, you can look out for me. I'm going to be on a new tour that's going out. It's called Comedy's Most Wanted Tour. It features myself, Corey Holcomb, Lavelle Crawford, J.J. Williamson from the SIP, and D.C. Young Fly. So y'all check us out because we're coming to a city near you. We kick this tour off in Naptown, Indianapolis, the Marat Theater, March the 17th. Y'all come check us out because we bringing the hilarity with us. You understand that. So, P, I appreciate it. Y'all give P a round of applause. Good friend of mine, good brother. Love him to death. And the same things he thinks about me, likewise. The brother been putting it down for years. Funny as hell. Authentic who he is. And it doesn't get any better than that in our business. So, until next time, thanks for listening. And we out.
Stir It Up Podcast, sponsored by SheSoFunny.com.